Yeah, look at that, just in time, pressing all the buttons in a blind panic. But this is the most prepared I feel for any show we've done for the pregame show this season. Yes! It's the big one. It's the big one, guys. I will ask you the big question in a moment. But yes, this weekend, the Dallas Cowboys face the Philadelphia Eagles at AT&T Stadium. Kickoff 1:20 a.m. on Monday morning here on the UK. just as we get over the jet lag, it all comes flooding back. As we say to RJ over at SB Nation, when we do this, you've got to live on two time zones, Central and UK time, and you go one of two ways. You either deal with it or have a bloody psychotic episode. But there we go. Yes. Also, it is bowl season. Oh, my favorite time of year. Oh, my goodness. Like, yeah. I don't know how they can make this time of the year any better. Like, for me, bowl season's bigger than Christmas. Oh, man. But it's the NFC East Bowl. Yes. So whoever wins this game will get the number one spot in the NFC East. So big, big game. But let's go around the house as we start this show off. Tell me, guys, this weekend, what are you? I know yours already, Paul, because me and you spoke for quite some time the other day on this, as you do. But what's your thoughts and feelings? And let us know as well at home, everybody, what your thoughts and feelings are on this weekend's game. Hit me with it, guys.
Well, I'm ready to see the Cowboys come out firing all guns blazing. All the pain's out the way. Mike McCarthy's had his surgery. He'll be back on the sideline on Sunday, all being well and, you know, makes a full recovery. And that's the only pain that we're going to have this week.
Yeah, I mean, all year we've heard, oh, these teams play Dallas. This is their Super Bowl, etc. Frankly, this is our Super Bowl. This is our way of making a statement. It's been circled in my calendar since the schedule came out as the key decider for the regular season. Not to say we won't get to the postseason, just to say it'll mean how we get to the postseason. So looking forward to a great game and seeing the best of what the Cowboys can do. I really feel in my bones we're going to see that.
To me, this is going to be game of the season, my personal opinion. So I was on talking with the guys from the Gridiron Crew earlier, and we were just kind of talking about this. Like, even though I do believe we will be all firing all guns and all cylinders there, but we still cannot underestimate this Eagles team. As much we do not like them whatsoever, they do cause a threat. Like, they can, like, from AJ Brown, etc., like Swift, etc. But they do have weapons there. There is some flaws in their defense, etc. But we just need to make sure that we are on point, we are effective, we do not drop any passes, and make sure that we are clinical when it comes to execution. If we can do all of those, I feel we will win this game. I'm not going to say it's going to be a landslide, but I don't think it's going to be like a 40 burger 10 or something like that. I think it's going to be a very closely contested game because Eagles, despite their most recent games, they have just edged it at the very end of quite a lot of these games, like the Bills, the Chiefs, etc. Even against us back at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, like that, this game is like we're playing at home. We're undefeated. Like, is it 14 games in a row as well? So a lot of pressure is on us to deliver in this game. So, and what a way to do it! If we can beat a team that is 10-2 right now, it will definitely doubt the naysayers. It will definitely give that validation of this MVP status right now. You'd be very surprised because quite a few people are actually now on board of Dak being the favourite now. They've actually spoken.
You're seeing the national press actually starting to talk about Dak seriously as an MVP contender, which great as long as you know Dak keeps it level-headed and knows that there's still work to be done, which, you know, by all accounts, he is. So,
yeah, I think off the back of that, not only does this game, if that comes out and does everything you guys have said, then not only are we putting real question marks into who the Eagles are, they're seen as gritty closers, but if their brand is winning ugly, if they no longer win, they're just ugly, then this actually exposes and pushes Hurts really out of the MVP conversation. If we have the game we hope from Dak, he should be.
That's a good point, Craig. Very good point.
Yeah, totally, 100%. Now, one thing that has cropped up in the last sort of 24 hours, 48 hours, depending when you're listening to this on the podcast as well, by the way, Mike McCarthy is gone in for surgery for appendicitis. I've known a few people who've had it, and a couple of them spent 2 weeks on the sofa. One or two of them were back in work a couple of days later. If McCarthy is to miss this game, I know we've got Dan Quinn sat there. Is that, though, losing Mike McCarthy on the sideline, is that going to be a big deal for the Cowboys?
I think so. For the offensive side of the ball, he's basically the head honcho of this West Coast offense, which is now we're starting to see our offense fully flourishing now. Cooks is getting more involved. We're seeing the mixture of combinations when it comes to with CeeDee Lamb, with our running backs as well, with Dowdle and Pollard, etc., really starting to flourish here. So, and we're seeing Jake Ferguson absolutely balling out in the past two games as well. So every player, game by game, offensively, are getting better. So I don't know how much of Dan Quinn knows of the play calling for the offensive side of the ball in terms of terminology, the call sheet, etc. That's going to, I think that will play a factor if that's the case. But I will say, though, let's just not forget, the American painkillers are far more superior than what we've got here in the UK. So I feel very confident that Mike McCarthy will be on that sideline. Obviously, he'll be in pain, but I don't think he will want to miss this game.
Yeah.
Not a chance, by not a mile.
I mean, I think worst comes to worst, you put Mike McCarthy up in the booth and you maybe have Dan Quinn as the de facto head coach on the sideline.
The mediator,
We've got experience of Dan Quinn stepping up to the head coaching role because of 2020 when Mike McCarthy came down with COVID, and I think it was the New Orleans game that you were at, Paul.
Was it that game? Oh my! I didn't realize it was that game. My goodness.
Well, certainly it was that year that we played New Orleans, and I think that's the game you were at. So
yeah, that was the game. Yeah.
And Dan Quinn coached that game, so you know we came away with a victory there as well. So Dan Quinn's 1-0 as Cowboys head coach. Mike McCarthy, though, as I say, worst comes to worst, he'll be up in the booth. He'll still place. You maybe have Brian Schottenheimer down on the field, chatting with getting the vibe and reporting it back to Mike McCarthy, and let him take it from there. There might be a little bit of a disconnect, but I think the main thing is, as Paul says, you eliminate the mistakes that we made in the first game. Don't go near certain heads of team security and all that, and get involved in that shit. Mm-hmm.
And just
do your job, and we'll come out. And certainly, it still favors the Eagles on the run-in for this season. But if they slip up and we win out, then great, we've got the division. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're quite lucky that this, although you never wanted to happen, the fact that it happened when we've got the longest week to prepare beside the bye, and also we're at home, so we can put in all those measures around like being up in the booth and having our own team doctors and, continuity. If this were to happen on the road and all the discomfort of traveling, then it's more likely it wouldn't be the part that we need him to be on the sideline.
Yes. Yeah, and as we stick with injuries, Sean McEwen has been sent to IR. That was to make way for Peyton Hendershot, which is quite a funny story. had a question sent in. What's going on with Hendershot? When is he going to play? Sent Carl Yeomans a message. I thought, oh, you'd be the guy to know. Just got a laughing face back, and I'm like, that's confusing. And literally within minutes, it came through Peyton Hendershot being moved to the 53. And I was like, ah, okay, makes sense now. Yeah. So Hendershot and Ferguson will be back for this game, which I feel is quite interesting.
The Ferguson combination, let's go.
The seam right. We did see Hendershot for one game. It wasn't all inspiring what we had from him, but we've got to give time to roll into this. Be interesting to see how that goes. We'll get into the tight ends in a moment against the Eagles, because also what's happened, Matt Walesko is on his 21-day notice, so he could be returning back to the fold, which is important. When you think of the tackle position as we get into the playoffs with Tyron Smith, vital. Everything else, big, big, big deal. So it's all well-timed. On the other side, a question has been raised this week. I don't know if you've watched much of NFL Network. Some people are saying, what if the Eagles for this game were to sit Hurts? Purely because of the bumps and knocks he had. He did leave the game last week against the 49ers and went to the medical tent, got reviewed, and then he managed to play the rest of the game. But they're saying, what if you just take it, put Marcus Mariota in for this game, and then you've got a healthy Hurts to take you through to end the season, to get you to close out? Because if the Cowboys win this game, right, the Cowboys go to the top of the NFC East. But if the records stay as they are till the end of the season, once the Eagles play, you know, the Giants and what have you, for the to the end of the season, they would actually end up winning the NFC East.
Yep.
Yeah.
Due to common opponents, they've got a better record against common opponents.
Yeah. Yeah, by one. So... So the argument is to be made here. I mean, what do you guys think of this?
I mean, it has a logic to it, depending on how grave the injury is. I mean, we've seen they should have sat Burrow for the first couple of weeks, and then the Bengals would have still had a lifeline. So, yes, but I think if it hadn't just come after the 49ers trouncing, if this had been a normal game, they'd won ugly and, you know, could do this and sort of push Cowboys to the side and say, well, no, we're still going to control our the next part of our season. That would make sense. I think they need a statement on the road. They need to restore this confidence about themselves to more likely get the one seed, never mind the top of the division, the one seed, which will allow Hurts to rest and allow Philly to play at home for however long they're in the playoffs for, hopefully short. So, I mean, he's your franchise, but I think their franchise needs a bit of a what they call defib thing right now. And no matter what,
restart the heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Defibrillator.
Yeah.
That's quite an interesting question, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, never even crossed my mind. I could see why they would do it, but I just saw what Mark Anthony just commented. I don't think they will
sit the number one seed,
because we've still got San Francisco to worry about as well in terms of the overall number one seed. Mm-hmm. Eagles don't want to give that up, obviously. Because that means they've got a bye week and Hurts can properly rest up. They're ready for the playoffs. So yeah. I think that's a factor in itself. I just don't see it happening. I think Hurts will want to kind of come back and try and make a statement, like, and really show that, like, we know he's a tough quarterback. All credit is due. Like, he's not really had the best of seasons, but I will give him that he has a fighting style quarterback. He will try and do whatever it takes to win. I will give him that. So, and that's what's been the Eagles all year. Like, there's been a lot of games, like the Chiefs, the Bills, etc., where throughout the majority of the game, they were not the better team, but yet they still managed to prevail and win the game. So, and that's just down to their mentality. So I do, we do need to give them credit. But yeah, just back to the original question, I just don't see it happening. But will we see Mayota might feature in the game? Possibly, depending how Hearts is playing. But other than that, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think I agree that, you know, this time last year he was injured and we were facing Gardner Minshew. You know, their season went on the slide a little bit for those couple of games that he was in there. But, you know, I think with everything on the line and you want, you know, if you've got a chance for the playoffs to go through your hometown, you want to play for that and you want to do everything you can. And as Paul says, you get the bye week if you get the number one seed as well. So that should be their focus. If they lose this weekend, as we expect they will, perhaps then you talk about resting him, because you do have a couple of games where you're potentially going up against either Tommy DeVito or Tyrod Taylor. So never overlook a division opponent. But
yeah.
The Giants shouldn't be giving them too many sleepless nights.
In fairness, though, DeVito has improved significantly week by week. I will. He really didn't impress me last week. So, even though it wasn't the best of games overall to watch from a television point of view, but DeVito stuck in there and managed to get the win for the Giants. So there is still a fight within them. So they could still, like, and you know, the Giants and the Eagles, they always have their rivalry as well. So if there's one thing they would love to do is just still slap the face of the enemy within the division and not be last. I think I'm pretty sure that's what they want to do. They don't want to finish behind Washington. So that's one thing to consider as well. And again, Mark Anthony made up Bernard a great point about Philly still has the Seahawks to play and obviously the Cardinals. When we played the Cardinals, it was Joshua Dobbs. Kyler Murray is now back. And fair play. And obviously, I was at the game last week against the Seahawks. I will give full credit to the Seahawks. They made that a dogfight for the majority of that game. I thought Geno Smith, all things considering, had a pretty decent game. Like, if he was to play like
that, then we did.
If Seahawks were to play the exact same way like they did against us at home, who knows what could happen when they play Philadelphia? Yeah. That's what I'm going to say in that one.
Yeah. So Geno Smith, I think, was playing where they needed him to be
in order
to get the win. What let him down was his O-line.
Yeah, sadly, and if that's one thing that we're going to be talking about is obviously this Eagles defense right now.
You've got
Hassan Reddick right now. He's got 9 sacks for the season, and you've got even though this is a weak point in the overall Eagles in their secondary, you still need to give Blankenship a big shout because he's the top tackler for the Eagles right now. He's pretty much holding the glue to whatever secondary they've got left. And he did save the Eagles from defeat against us. So it's still an odd guy you need to watch out for their safety is Blankenship.
Yeah. No, that is right. But let's get into that then. Let's use that as a segue, guys. Dak Prescott leading the NFL right now, 26 touchdowns. In the last 4 weeks, he ranks first in the NFL in every passing statistical category. Completion yards. It's been an insane run. One big thing the Eagles' defense is quite good at is stopping the run, only allowing 90 yards per game. Pretty much 90, it's like 90.1. So it's pretty much 90 on the nose.
Yeah, it's a great statistic for the Eagles. If there's one thing we have struggled this year is our running game. We've had some good moments. We've had some really failing to even get past the line of scrimmage. Whether should we feature more Rico Dowdle for the more short yardage gains, all those type of things. All those wee things need to take in consideration. Like, obviously, I'm all for bringing more Rico Dowdle, more reps for those specific scenarios. Because let's be honest, Tony Pollard is not a short yardage type of guy. He's better to run in the outside for those 5-6 yard plus, to really make the strides like first and second downs. So I think as long as we've been smart in terms of our play calling and try not to be too predictable, I think we can do some damage in the rushing game. But against this Eagles defense, it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. I think one of the things, obviously, the 49ers game this last week, you hate talking about blueprint, but you saw how, McCaffrey wasn't running the ball as much, but they were using him out the backfield as a pass catching back. And, our offense.
A lot excels in.
Our offense is relatively similar. It's not like you're reinventing the offense to copy the 49ers game plan. So, we could potentially be looking at doing something similar to that to capitalize on the inadequacies of the Philadelphia defense. So,
and I think in the chat we had last week, I think it was it Dowdle who was getting praised for helping with the against the pass rush. Actually, if more of our running backs are keeping Dak upright and giving those extra times to carve up their secondary, then that's fine. I'm fine with having a sub 90 running day if it's plus 30 points on the board.
End of the day, as long as we get the win, who cares, right? But just to kind of go back to what you were saying there, Lauren, like San Francisco is an eye opener, a big eye opener, and especially Joe from Italy mentioned in the comments, we've had 10 days to prepare for this game, whereas the Eagles are 7 days, because obviously we had the back-to-back first day night games, whereas the Eagles just lost to San Francisco at home, where I may add, and going to Philly and beating them the way San Francisco is not no easy feat. So there's a lot to take from that game, and obviously I think as of right now, and obviously Mike, you'll probably have the injury report on you right now, but as of right now, I do believe like with the Eagles' injuries and concerns for their injury reports right now, that could play a big massive factor as well. Some key players, even the linebackers or secondary, could actually be questionable for to get Tony Pollard more involved in those screen passes to really expose that secondary.
Yeah, and you beat me to a question I was going to ask you guys, is that the fact that we've got Tony Pollard, and in college he practically played wide receiver, so it plays into the Cowboys' hands that they could use him on these almost semi or fully extended handoffs where you're having Pollard running wheel routes or running out to the flat and catching balls from that angle, where you're still effectively a running back, but he's catching balls, he's making receptions and using him that way. One big thing that Eagles are really struggling with, only Washington are worse than Philadelphia in terms of defending the pass. They're allowing more yards and they are allowing more passing touchdowns than, so they're last in passing touchdowns. In fact, in the last 3 weeks, they're dead last.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that bad.
It's that bad. So here's one that will excite you though, Paul. And I put this out on Twitter earlier. The Cowboys in the last 3 weeks are first year in the NFL in red zone touchdowns. They have 9.
Who would have thought that? Like,
it would work itself out.
We did say this West Coast, Texas Coast offense would take a little bit of time to develop, and we're now, this whole talk about red zone offense is now debunked by far. Well,
so the Cowboys are number one right now in over the last 3 weeks. The Eagles, when defending inside the red zone, are dead last. They've allowed 10 touchdowns in that time. Go on, guys. I was just going to say that what the Cowboys are doing well is what the Eagles happen to do very badly, and what the Eagles do very well is what the Eagles do badly on offense. So it's almost like our weakness is their strength and vice versa.
And without looking in the rearview mirror, it just reminds me of when we did have the ball in the red zone with however many seconds left against them in Philly, and just penalties just knocked us out until we were out of options. So, you know, what could have been?
That's a good point. If there's anything that's going to hinder the Cowboys from putting points on the board, it's ourselves.
Let's be honest.
It's like the false starts or the holding calls or anything like that. We need to make sure that we, like I mentioned at the very start, like we need to be disciplined, we need to be clinical, we need to make sure that we're executing the plays and make sure we're not dropping passes. If we can get all four of those, we will win this game.
Go on.
The one thing I was going to say, so I've seen a tweet tonight. Somebody asked Brian Broaddus who the officiating crew is, and it's John Hussey's crew, and he's very, he's actually favours the home team quite a lot in the decision making.
I still don't like him.
Yeah, I know.
I could not care less who the referee is. I think all the referees have just been very suspect across the league, and like I can be very nitpicky about the whole Lane Johnson situation of him jumping offside in every single snap, but because I don't know how many I'm not the only one who's tweeted NFL officiating on Twitter. Like, I'm not the only one. I think at least thousands of people have really took it on board. It's like, how can you miss this? This is happening literally every single play. Because he's kick-stepping before the ball's even snapped. That's offside. So, for me, I'm keeping a close eye on these referees, make sure that they're officiating it fairly. Like, obviously, if there's a call that goes in our favour, then obviously I will say it's like, oh, we got very lucky with that or something like that. Like, I'll be brutally honest. So, but yeah, it's definitely something to kind of keep your eyes on as the referees. But at the same time, we just need to make sure we just do not make any mistakes and make our job harder than what it should be. Because like you just said there, Mike, their weaknesses is our strength, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Why not? We just need to make sure that we do that.
Yeah. And another interesting one as well. And you mentioned the 14 game home streak, Paul. Another little feather in the cap that's quite nice. The Eagles have not won in AT&T Stadium since 2017.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Oh no, that was the last game I attended. That was the Eagles game I attended. Jeez. I was at that game. Back in 2017. That was the game I had a little tough over from the Eagles fan. That was that one. It was the week before the Thanksgiving game against the Chargers, and that's where we had Jeff Heath as our kicker against the Chargers that game. So the Eagles game was the week before that.
So that was the last time they won it. So there is that going in the favour. Also, another one that is quite interesting is the pass rush. So sacks per game has gone considerably down in the last 4 weeks. They were absolutely flying during all through mid-season as well. The last 4 weeks, they've slowed right down, and they're in the bottom half now in sacks per game rate in the last four games.
I wouldn't be too concerned based on what you just said there, but I would still consider this Eagles defense to be very dangerous, in particular Riddick. If I'm going to single out someone, it would have to be Terrence Steele right now. Like, there has been moments for parts of the season he has been very inconsistent, and especially in that last game down in Lincoln Financial Field where Riddick had his way with Terrence Steele. So hopefully things have swapped around and hopefully we can isolate Riddick, and that would actually help the rest of the O-line a little more, and we can probably expand our run game a bit better as well. So hopefully that might be the case.
Yeah.
And to Mark Anthony's comment there, absolutely. Because we are starting to see the trend now moving. Like, we've even got Stephen A. Smith as Cowboys as his number two team. Number two. And for him to say that, that is painful for him.
Yep.
A painful in terms of his online facade is painful.
Yeah. Off the screen, he's quite happy, but
yeah. So yes. So I think the way to beat this team, CeeDee Lamb, he's on form right now. Get him involved. Linebackers is a cause for concern. Zach Cunningham has been injured, so he may come back. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, they've got Shaq Leonard, but to me, like, I think in Dallas, he would have been nice because he's a rotational player. For the Eagles, he's going to be starting this week.
Yeah.
Mm. You've got to wonder how effective he's going to be. A, just wandering straight in there straight away. Like, he's not even going to know the players' names, half of them. But also, he's got to get used to how the team operate, the culture.
Yeah.
Well, culture sucks, but...
That was quite a cheap shot coming from you there, mate.
Jeez, I know. I'm sorry. I'll have certain people messaging. But there's that. But also, I think for a guy like Shaq Leonard, he is a good linebacker. But I just think that the player people are picturing in their mind isn't the Shaq Leonard you're going to expect. He's gone slightly downhill, not dramatically, but he's not what he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, with Shaq Leonard, like, if the Eagles needed something, it would be that very lateral style linebacker can go from sideline to sideline.
Yeah,
Leonard's not really that. He's definitely more of a
forward. A thumper.
Aye, it's really hard to say, like. It really depends how they utilize him. If they play them as a middle linebacker, then yeah, possibly he could run the A-gap blitz or whatever on that to help his defensive line. That was where he would be effective, and all the other running backs are maybe a bit more lateral, can be more the Sam and your linebackers. Yeah, so that's something to consider as well. It just really depends where Leonard is positioned. I think that's something to look at as well. If he's playing on the outside as your Sam or your Will, then I think there could be potential exposure to that, especially for the passing game.
If it's going to be anyway, it'll be, because obviously Hassan Reddick's going to be playing the Sam, which is practically where he plays all the time. So you're going to be looking at that. So you think really, yeah, he's not going to play the Will. He's not quick enough for that type of, you know, for, like you say, the lateral quickness isn't there to play the Will. But the big one is that, as we say, these wide receivers, these Cowboys wide receivers can attack these guys. Darius Slay is in the top 10 for most yards allowed. And their opposite cornerback, I've forgotten his name, I will check in a moment, he ranks first in most touchdowns allowed.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Bradbury.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And then you've got their other two safeties who are rookies. Both of them had their struggles last time when they played the Cowboys. And Sidney Brown actually allowed a touchdown to Kevontae Turpin. So something to look, feel confident about as things move on. But let's go on the other side, guys. So let's talk about, first of all, when we talk about the Eagles' offense versus the Cowboys' defense, let's first of all talk about the Eagles' offensive line. Now, you already mentioned about one particular offensive lineman.
Possibly two.
Yeah. But what is interesting, and I know you will like this, Paul, Jalen Hurts has been sacked 32 times. That is the third or fourth most, depending which way you look at it, most in the NFL. And they've given up 145 pressures, which is in the top 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think there's an element of that is that, you know, because of whatever Jalen Hurts is actually carrying, now, he's not appearing on the injury report at all or anything like that. So it's just a case of him playing hurt rather than actually there being an actual issue. But you're seeing it. He's not running as much as he used to. Mm-hmm. you know, when the break, play breaks down, he's actually still trying to stand there and, you know, still generate a little bit extra time, but he is being able to get taken down, which is something that you never saw last year when he was running about like a the force that he was. This year it's a bit different, and it works. I mean, again, with all the pressure that Micah Parsons is actually generating, you know, you've still got stay-at-home guys that are actually forcing him to move around the pocket rather than finding these open holes. So it does, again, our defensive line does play into that as well. So it should help generate the pass rush.
That's an interesting point about his mobility. And also, I'd be interested in seeing the stats, see if there's a trend in terms of how many brotherly shoves they're doing. Because if he is picking up more of this, then they may be more reluctant to do so, which means that fourth down isn't the, what was it, what we've got, you know, three downs to go 9 yards kind of Nick Sirianni mouth thing. So that might not be as much of an option.
That's a really great, interesting point that you just brought up about the brotherly shove. I've got a weird question for you guys. Do you think the brotherly shove is actually damaging Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Because Jason Kelce actually came out and said on record on his own podcast saying he hates the play because he's getting trampled on.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. Aye. So, and it's not fun. So, no. I think. Like, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that could be one of the potential issues why he's getting so worn down that they're relying on this one particular play, which is, as much as I hate to admit it, it is nearly unstoppable. You know, it can't be stopped. Like you mentioned, mate, about it's scrum. It's basically scrum rugby 101, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, we went through it with Tuck. With Jay Tuck, and you know, he posted it on his Twitter, like, here's the answer. That's all it took.
And he was like, pretty much.
Mind blown. So it can be defended. And you say about the injuries, I mean, you know, if you play rugby and you're under those rucks and they come over the top of you, no, they do hurt. Yeah. You know, you come out of those moments standing up, seeing stars. And it is going to have an effect on him, and it has to. And I think the bumps and the knocks and everything and the lack of recovery is from those things. It's an interesting point.
Yeah, especially when you've got running backs running up your backside as well to give you that extra push as well. So your legs are moving forward anyway. You've then got offensive linemen to actually negotiate, and you've also got the running back coming up your backside as well. So you're basically then subsequently getting sandwiched in there. Mm. It is going to take a toll, but I think he's picked up the injury from one of his scrambles, the same way that you see any rushing quarterback inevitably at some point goes down injured. You know, you've seen it with Fields this year. You go back to RG3.
You know
all of these players, they eventually succumb to some. Yeah, they eventually succumb to some sort of knee injury, and I think he's playing through something. I think come the end of the season, I think you'll see that he undergoes some sort of surgery during the off season to get ready for next year. So
yeah.
The thing about likes of Jalen Hurts as well, like he is technically more of a mobile quarterback than he is more of a passing quarterback, right? And that seems to be the trend with mobile quarterbacks. They tend to have a good couple of first years, whatever, and then there's the decline. Like you just mentioned, the RG3, Cam Newton, etc. Like
Colin Kaepernick.
Exactly. Like the difference between what Dak can be a mobile quarterback, but he chooses not to. This is why he's been so sustained. Like his longevity has continued on, and he seems to be getting better because he's developing the rest of his craft in terms of other ways to be a better quarterback and different ways, shapes of one. So I think that is a factor to really consider as well.
I've always said it. I'll let you speak now, Craig, but I've always said that mobility, right, in terms for quarterbacks, is vital in those early years. because, you know, when they come in from college and these guys can move around, it gives them time to learn about everything, about the speed of the game, the pace of the game. But then what they've got to do is they've got to learn how to be a pocket passer, which is what they did with Dak, if you like. He was doing it in Mississippi State. You know, he was setting records on the ground as a quarterback and in the SEC. But when you get to the NFL and you've seen it, and it was something Jason Garrett used to do a lot, if you remember. They used to, like, you know, like before games, I mean, he used to stand in the stands and throw the ball and pass the ball back to each other. Mm. And they've tried to make that this pocket passer, because as time goes on, they've got to learn how to do it, because the whole mobility thing, as you mentioned, it's not sustainable. It's more important in those early years when they're learning the game.
Yeah.
But go on, Craig. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with all that. And of course, over the years, the knocks, the bumps, the crushes do add up and take its toll. So yeah, exactly that. So I see Dak as more of a the Mahomes. He can run, but he's running for the sideline, and then he keeps himself safe. And
that's the way to do it
downfield. Whereas Hurts, I think, isn't there yet. Hurts is still trying to make the big play himself. Whereas Dak is, with his sort of twisting throw in the air kind of thing, Dak is still making the play for the team.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, let's continue with the Eagles side. Tell me, guys, how do we stop A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith? Last week, the Eagles got completely manhandled in terms of what they could do on offense. Even still, even then, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith both accumulated over 200 yards receiving and scored a touchdown between them.
Well, A.J. Brown only got one reception for, I think, 8 yards against us last time. Yes. Smith then went off on the other angle. But, yeah, it can be done. And, I think someone said it earlier in the chat, it's about hitting them early and knocking them off their stride. And a bit of, without opening ourselves up to the penalties that can take the wind out of ourselves, it's about asserting ourselves in the coverage game as much as we're asserting ourselves in the trenches.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go on, guys. Going on.
No, I think it, as Craig says there, I think it's jamming them on the line, you know, trying to reroute them, whatever, and just basically don't give them the space to get their batteries charging and legs moving, so that, you know, take them down as soon as they catch the ball, limit the run after catch. And I think, you know, we've had a good test against the Seattle wide receiver core last week. It's very similar to what we're facing this week. As I said on Tuesday night when I was on with Brian, I think we were, you could see that the guys were actually tired from those three games in 12 days or whatever it is. I think this time, obviously, the rest will have put that back in our favour. You know, and I think we'll be ready to come at them. Bland should be able to be back up to scratch and everything like that. And again, you saw, you know, the adjustments that Dan Quinn made during that game to switch Gilmore, put Gilmore on the AJ Brown type of wide receiver, and maybe put Bland on the Devonta Smith type of wide receiver. You know, we could certainly see that and see a bit more mix and match with these guys.
Yeah, but like said, Bland though, like, if there's one thing I will say is probably one of his weaknesses is dealing with the more bigger physical wide receivers like your Metcalf.
Agree.
And your AJ Browns. That seems to be the only Achilles heel I've seemed to find so far. Against anybody else, like guys like literally match for height, your quick routes, your slant route guys, like all day long, Bland is there. He's eagle-eyed. But in terms of man coverage going down in the deep, going down deep with the man coverage in terms of the more physical wide receivers, I think that's still part of his game he still needs to really improve on. But other than that, I think if we can stop the deep routes from ever preventing getting to Hurts early from the defensive front, that should actually help us in terms of our cornerbacks. They really shut down likes of AJ Brown and Devonta Smith and stuff, etc.
Yeah, and I think with Deron Bland, the physical side of it all, I think, is because he's just so tall and lanky. You know, I'm not saying he's light, but that's just because of his build.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's where he gets his struggles from. But you've got to slow these guys down. And I think that both the safety play is going to be extreme. It needs to be on point this week. And one of the things I've been worried about this week, and I'm being quite critical of him for obvious reasons, is being Donovan Wilson. Mm. He's been okay in parts, but like Donovan Wilson has never been like this electrifying. He is electrifying, but he's never been like this dynamic defender. He's this guy who comes in and he will just make a play for you. You know, like you'll just do that thing where you'll get a tackle for a loss. Is this big, you know, like this defensive playmaker that will push on this. And then he's off the field. You don't need to see him for a few snaps. But he hasn't done that this year. That's my trouble with him.
I don't know about that. He's top five in tackles for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a tackler, but I mean as a defensive playmaker.
Well,
like when you think of like what he's been in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he was caught out of position there on that first DK Metcalf. He followed Geno Smith's eyes into the center of the field, and Deron Bland was obviously looking for a little bit of safety help there. Wilson was a step late, and it was off to the races for DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
you're seeing that with both. Actually, with both Hooker and Wilson, whether it's because they've signed these big contracts during the off-season and training camp, but, you know, there's been missed plays by them.
Mm-hmm.
Curse hasn't been up to scratch this year as well. You're seeing probably better plays from guys like Marquise Bell when he's playing as a safety, as well as linebacker, one-way Thomas, whatever. Lovely guy as well when we got to meet him at the meet and greet as well. So
Shout out to Cowboys Experience.
But you know that is the weakness of our secondary, is probably that the safety play hasn't been up to scratch this year compared to the last couple of years.
Because even Malik Hooker last week was on one play he was out of position. Like he's sort of second guessed where he was supposed to be, and he didn't need to be. Just needed to just be where he needed to be to begin with. But he kind of second guessed, put himself out, and put him out of the play. So I think safety play is huge this week. But let's talk about the big one, guys. Defensive line for the Cowboys. Here we go, Paul. Here we go. And I was going to bring you in. Don't you worry. So this defensive line last week against Seattle. In the end, it came through, made the big pressure on the last play to kill the game. Huge play. Obviously, Tank, go on.
In fairness, though, it was a bad play call from Seattle. They should never have done that play in the first place. Zero coverage? Like, they literally let Parsons through to try and do the screen pass. So I think that was a bad play call from Seattle. But at the same time, Dallas, with the speed that we've got, we made that play decimated from, I think Parsons got to Geno Smith in 1.8 seconds.
Yes, it was. It was less than that.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. That was a weird play call. A very weird play call.
The main thing that blew that play up, though, was that DeMarcus Lawrence recognized it was a sort of screen, and he went out to attack the running back, and that killed it, because if DeMarcus Lawrence had gone all hell blazing, tried to get to the quarterback for the sack, then, you know, it could have been a completely different game, because they would have hit the running back Charbonnet on a screen pass, and he probably would be in the end zone, or certainly the drive would have continued, and, you know, they'd have got down in the position to at least tie the game up, if not take a 1-point lead. The pressure is the guys are still generating pressure, and that's putting pressure on the QBs, making them throw the ball quickly, get the ball out. And if your wide receivers aren't ready, or, you know, it's a long developing play that's happening,
then,
you know, it works in our favor. You know, and there will be periods where we don't generate sacks. I think the, you know, everybody's saying, oh, you know, we haven't really been sacking the way we have at the beginning of the season. Teams have been learning to actually focus on that. And it's a case of us sort of rejigging on the move. And we're still getting there. We're still generating the pressure. And all it takes is another second or so. And you will have some QBs that will hold that ball for the extra second, you know, and that will generate sacks again. So this offensive line, you can get sacks against them, as you've pointed out, Mike, as well. So
here's a controversial opinion. I think QB pressures are tend to be a bit more important than sacks.
No, it's not controversial. I agree.
Because the reason I say that, right, and it kind of relates to what you were just saying there, Lauren. If our defensive line can create the pressures, then it's gonna have that chain reaction for the secondary to make those plays, like Bland, like Karras, etc. Whoever that may be, like it falls into their hands essentially. So it all starts from the line of scrimmage, right in the trenches. And if they're doing their job correctly, then it's going to make the other guys' jobs even easier. So it's that whole chain reaction.
And, you know, like you say, pressures, I think, are a big one. Another big one as well is tackles for a loss. Run defense. Micah Parsons among defensive end ranks first in tackles for a loss. And in run stop percentage, DeMarcus Lawrence ranks first. And on PFF, amongst defensive ends, he's second in defensive grade for the second time in a row.
Good, yeah.
Bravo!
Oh, by the way, I should say as well, D-Law is up for Walter Payton Man of the Year for the Dallas Cowboys as well. That's right. So, I mean, like, in terms of defense, run defense, I think has gotten better. Especially, I think, Marquise Bell coming in has been
he's been phenomenal.
Vital, so that he's hit the ground running. You know, Leighton Van Der Esch left, we all kind of held our breath and went, we know what Marquise Bell is, but we haven't seen him do it in the NFL. He can do it fine.
He's stepping up to the plate. Not bad for an undrafted free agent. Was it Florida South? Florida UAT?
A&M.
Florida A&M. Not bad for an undrafted free agent who is primarily a safety and he's now playing pretty much linebacker right now. So for him to step up, and I think he's now second in tackles in total for the Cowboys right now. Mm-hmm. Who's number one, actually? Number one's Damone Clark.
Right. So, but it's crazy when you think, like you say, Paul, he's second and he didn't start playing until halfway through the season.
It's insane.
So the only other big one is obviously how well Jonathan Hankins has been playing lately, which is big against the run as well. Even DJ Dog is saying, yeah, big Hankins is getting by. Yeah, he's actually registered a sack and a pressure in the last two games. Like, how that happens from a guy that size, I will never know.
I will keep saying to get in that position from the inside interior of the defensive line is probably one of the hardest things to do in the defensive line position. Mm-hmm. I'm eating.
You go, girlfriend.
I'm eating my beaver nuggets right now from Bucky's.
Product placement.
I
think another example as well, as you pointed out there, that Bell and Damone Clark are the leading tacklers on the team. That then shows that Hankins, Mazi Smith, Osa, whoever's playing in that interior, is actually allowing the defensive the linebackers to float the ball and get tackled. So that means that they're not generating the stats that everybody looks for, but you know they're doing their job and everybody else is benefiting on the back of that.
What did I say, Lauren? Chain reaction. There we go. That's it.
Yep. Yes, that's right. All right, but now we get into the most important part of the show. Yes, that's right. Here we go, folks. Make sure you join in at home on this. So we know, basically, even if you're watching non-live, where you think the Cowboys are going to be finishing in this game. I've already handed my score prediction in. I'm saying the Cowboys win this week, 31-24. It's going to be a little bit of a close one, but the Cowboys are going to be far and ahead. But the Eagles start to bring it back in the fourth quarter. That's my prediction.
Lauren. Well, mine is so close to yours for about the third week running, Mike. I've got 32-25.
There we go. Okay, I like it.
A point each way, you know.
You know, because it's so close, it means that it's going to be one or the other. It's the meme. Yep.
I think we're going to pull ahead early. It's going to get a bit closer, but I'm going with 29-17.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, Paul.
We got
a 40 burger, yeah.
I'm not surprised coming from Joe. I'm not surprised, and I love the input you're saying in this, brother. Big shout out to Joe from Italy. I'm going to say it's going to be a lot closer game than it actually is. I still think the Eagles are still going to cause a threat, despite what they are. They are dogs, pretty much, on the field. Like, they still somehow to keep themselves in the game, despite they might not be playing the best football. So, with that being said, I'm going to say Cowboys 35, Eagles 31.
Ooh, that is a close one. That's even so. Yours is the closest. So, as I say, comment. Even if you're watching the show afterwards, or even on Spotify, you can put comments in now. Just put in there what you think the score predictions are. We do take notice of them. We will be looking at them, so don't you panic. But let's move on to the final section, the big one. This is the big one now, the fantasy lounge. So let's get to the scores first. Now, just so you know, Paul, we were very heavily jet-lagged last week, so we didn't do the fantasy section. We just kind of breezed past it. We were like,
yeah.
We did the post-game and the pre-game show in one. So we got to this stage, we just kind of went, eh. So I have tallied the scores from our last one, and here is the latest results. So ahead at the moment is Lorne, because he has the most bonus points. Paul right behind, then Jamie. Let's have a look. Then we've got Craig. Yeah. Then it's Graham. And then side by side is Rich and Brian. So there we have it. It's a close one. It's getting closer. It's getting closer to the end where we get to find out who the victor is. But play along at home, guys. All you got to do, just put in the comments the name of the player, whether you think from the fantasy score, it's going to be more or less, higher or lower. It's a game of over and under, whichever way you want to look at it. Used to be, what was the one we used to do?
Boy, oh boy, and oh boy.
Boy, oh boy, yeah, that's right.
Higher or lower, folks.
It's as simple as that, guys, all right? If you're playing along, obviously, as well.
Mention
the player. But if you're playing after the show's gone out, don't comment on the fantasy scores on the Monday, because we can see when you put the comment in, we can see what you're trying to do, and it does not work. All right. we've had a few of them. I find it funny, so don't worry. It is comical. But let's get to it, guys. All right, then. Dak Prescott, 20.7 fantasy points. Is that higher or lower? Bearing in mind what we talked about with the Eagles secondary.
Higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, higher as well.
Yeah, so I think that one's fairly simplistic there. I think the only thing that's going to slow them down is whether they get an interception. Interceptions we'll get to on the Cowboys defense, though. So, yes. So we got a higher. I think people are fairly happy on the idea that it's going to be higher. So that's what we will go with on that one. I would go with all of you guys on that. But Tony Pollard, guys, 15.4 fantasy points. This I'm not so sure when I see it.
No, lower.
Yeah, lower.
I wonder if Lorne's going to say what I'm thinking.
I'm going to go push. I think, you know, as I've said, I think you're going to use him more as a wide receiver or a running back out of the backfield. So I'm going to push on that one.
PPR as well.
So you think, say he gets two receptions, goes 20 yards. Say one of them's a touchdown. Boof.
In fact, yep. You know what? I'm changing my answer. I'm going to go higher then. Now that I've thought about, now that I have a good be thought about that, I keep forgetting about the PPR and receiving yards.
No, I think this is the game for it. For definitely, we got to push as well. Joe's getting well involved in this. Love it. All right then, CeeDee Lamb, who currently ranks second in the NFL in receiving yards, having an absolute ball out there at the moment. 21.8 fantasy points. And I understand the reason why they've done that.
Lower. I just think we've got a lot of options, so it will be spreading the wealth, so it'll take a bit of his sandwiches.
Yeah?
I'm saying push. But on you roll on.
No, go on, Paul. You finish your thought.
I was just going to say, purely because of, again, PPR, the ability to get the touchdown and whatever yards, I think 21 sounds right bang on the money. So that's why I'm saying push.
And I'm gonna say ever so slightly lower because I think, as Craig says, I think it's going to be a case of Cooks, Tolbert, Turpin, Jalen Brooks, whatever. And I think if I was the Philadelphia defense, my focus would be on stopping CeeDee Lamb as much as possible. Give him 10 targets, 10 catches, but limit the yardage or whatever. So that's my point of view. I'm going ever so slightly lower.
Okay, one second. I've dropped my pen. I've dropped my pen and I don't know where it is now. I need a spare pen. All right, use this permanent marker. It doesn't work. I had a feeling it wasn't going to work. Travis has been in here. Right. All right, then. Here we go. Jake Ferguson, 8.7 fantasy points, guys. Yeah.
Higher.
Yeah.
Higher by easily. Easily higher.
Yeah, yeah. The Eagles actually was, when we was talking about, I said we come back to the tight end position. The tight end position is an area the Eagles are struggling with as well. Mostly because their linebackers really are struggling to cover. I remember me and you last time, Paul, we spoke about N'Kobe Dean and then it came up. Yep. Similar thing.
Well, I think the interesting matchup for me is Jake Ferguson and Blankenship, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think that's the area. I think this is where Blankenship is going to be getting the most attention at. So I think it's definitely something to look at, for sure.
Yeah.
And if you hark back to the last game, Ferguson, Hendershot, Schoonmaker, they were used quite a lot in that game up at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Again, if it wasn't for the Eagles tackling Schoonmaker on the goal line and all
that was Blankenship as well.
Yep. Yeah. That would be more points and that would be more use of the tight end. So I think the tight end is certainly an area for utilising against this defence. Having said that, Shaq Leonard certainly was a good Tampa 2 linebacker, whether the last couple of weeks has given them a chance to get back into pass coverage and, you know, cure a little bit of the ails that he's got that have made him expendable with the Colts. But, higher for Ferguson.
Okie dokie. Here's the one then, guys, defence. So we're saying that they're going to get sacks, but you're going to score a lot of points. So where do you land? 6.8 fantasy points, bearing in mind Hurts, fourth most interceptions this year as well.
Higher.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm going higher as well. I think, you know, you're going to get your sacks, you're going to get your interceptions. I don't see it being a blowout victory of 32 points. I don't see Philadelphia putting 32 points on our defense. So,
yeah, same higher.
Interesting. All right. Ooh, here we go. We've got a pick six coming in for Bland on this game.
Hey, Lloyd!
With a picture of Dez.
Yeah. So, there we go. So that puts the defensive score up, that's for sure. But going on the Eagles side, guys, Jalen Hurts, 22.3 fantasy points. And he is having a good season in terms of fantasy. As a quarterback, you can't deny it. Passer, we'll have that conversation again if you really want to. But let's look at Jalen Hurts. Is he going to get 22.3 fantasy points or more on this defense?
Push. Lower.
I'm going to push on that because, you know, he will run the ball. You know, and he is, unlike Fields, I would say he's actually quite a capable pocket passer as well. So,
yeah, I'd join with Joe there and say lower. Again, you know, full respect for him, and he is a battler. But I just have a feeling I don't think he's going to see the full 60 minutes. I think there's going to be more time with someone else rolled on for him.
It makes sense. And, you know, if you're saying that they're going to get a few sacks and an interception, you're going to have to go lower than the 22 points because otherwise that means he's scoring like 40-odd points but still creating turnovers, you know, if that's the case. But okay then, DeAndre Swift, guys, 12.3 fantasy points. I found that quite interesting.
Push.
Yeah, push.
I'm going to go ever so slightly higher.
Higher. He has had a couple of good games during the last few weeks. He's just inconsistent. And I think some of the inconsistencies flow around game script. He did take a battering last week against the 49ers as well. I mean, that guy took a beating. So you're going to wonder how sore he is coming into this game this week. Could be quite interesting to see. Who knows? But AJ Brown, guys, 14.6 fantasy points. The last time when this came up, AJ Brown was due to score over 20 fantasy points and was. Oh, he's going for a push over here.
I'm going for a push again.
Remember the last time when you tried to push on every one of these last time? It bit you in the ass.
Well, you know what, Mike? You might as well just put my name down for. Actually, maybe not. For the next one, maybe not for the next one, actually.
pull the push is what we're doing. But yeah, I'm going
lower for AJ Brown. I think we did a good number on him last time. I think that focus will be there again.
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah,
you're going lower too. It's very, you know, it's a bit of a weird one. It's because AJ Brown had over 100 yards in the last game, but in the games previous to that, they are very low. There's some low numbers sprinkled in there. Obviously, game script has had a part to play in that. But it's just funny how we were told how AJ Brown was this super amazing wide receiver in the NFC East, and now the tables have turned, and CeeDee Lamb is that guy. All in the space of a month. But there we have it. So Dallas Goedert. Now, here's an interesting one. Dallas Goedert's on the injury report. He's questionable play. If you remember last time when we played, Marquise Brown and him got into a roll on a tackle and it broke his he broke a bone in his arm. So he's been off. He's been on an injured reserve up until now. So he's still questionable to play. He hasn't practiced in full as yet. But we'll still put Dallas Goedert as the play who's going to be. But we'll make it tight end one. All right. So it's Dallas Goedert or whoever. If that makes sense to everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right then. So tight end one / Dallas Goedert, 8.2 fantasy points. We talked about Jalen Curse's issues.
Lower.
Oh. Interesting.
I'm gonna push on that because I think By the looks of the injury report, you've got all three tight ends for Philadelphia are all on the injury report. Yeah. Cal Sotera's got a knee injury, I think. You've obviously got Stahl. Goddard coming back, and then Stahl's injured as well. Yeah. I think, you know, on that case. They're going to want Goddard to be back in as much as possible. And again, if it's looking for checkdowns across the middle or anything like that, then they're going to go for Goddard. So minimal yardage, 40 yards maybe, and about 4 or 5 catches. So, you know, that'll be a point either side. So push on that one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Dallas Goddard. I think that's a story that they're pumping up. But yeah, I think it's going to be a push around for whoever is tight end one.
Yeah. And just so you know, we'll do the defense, and I'll do this final bit, and then we'll get out of here. So I'll put you down on that. Okay, then. So Eagles defense, 6.5 fantasy points, guys.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm thinking, Lloyd. Exactly what I'm thinking.
Mm. Yeah, lower as well, I think.
Lower.
That for the defense you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go higher.
Okay. I think a fumble in there somewhere or something?
No, I think there is some creases. Like, regardless of how well we will play, I still think the Eagles will still cause a threat and still put some points on the board. So, and I think 6.5 seems to be a bit very low in that interest. I think, like Sir Riddick and stuff like that, I think with the pressures and stuff like that, I think there is going to be tackles for losses. I think there might be a sack there for the Eagles. So that will still accumulate those points up a little bit. So I think for 6.5 is quite low, so that's why I'm saying higher. So it's not going to be no more than 10 points, I will say that. I think it's going to be like the 8.2, 8.7 mark.
Okay. All right, then. Interesting. So, as I say, anyone playing along at home, we watch them. Oh, Craig, what did you say?
I said lower.
Lower, thank you very much. Yeah, make sure you play along at home. If you're doing it after the show's gone live or on Spotify, on the comment section, that's fine. We do take care of them. We do look at them. We like all of your comments. As we always say, you're the MVPs of the show. So that's quite important. But you asked at the beginning of the show, Paul, and I've got some information up on the Cowboys players. The only ones not practicing today was Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. But just so you know, they were both on rest days. So they gave them a rest day yesterday and today. The only limited play was Rico Dowdle with that ankle injury, but that seems to be every week that crops up.
Right.
And you're like, ooh, is he going to play or isn't he? And he just ends up playing.
Chris, the reason I was asking is I was trying to think of the comparisons, Chris. Obviously, the Eagles, like you mentioned, about the tight ends and stuff like that, that's massive for them. For us, it just seems to be the same. We niggle there and there, but they'll be okay for game day, pretty much. Yeah. So,
I think the most important thing of, like, you know, like when they were playing this congested part of the season during Thanksgiving, was getting through those games with as little injuries as possible up to this game. And they've done that. And I think they're managing it well by putting players on rest days, on vet days, and all the rest of it. That's very, very smart on their part.
I totally agree. And just to kind of add on top of that, I think, oh God, I forgot what I was going to say now. I was basically going to say was, oh God, this went out of the top of my head there.
I tell you what, Paul, I tell you what. Give yourself a chance to think, right? And Lorne is going to do this section for us. Hit me with it, Lorne.
Yep. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so if you're looking to book up for a Cowboys game, either for the remaining two games of the season or playoffs or next season, make sure you book with Cowboys Experience for the ultimate game tickets, meet and greets, stadium tours, tour of the star. Give them a ring, let them know when you're coming in, they'll work with you, they'll create the package for you, budget allowance and everything like that. Use the promo code UK Cowboys and you'll get, what will you get, guys?
Some free stuff. Did it come back to you, Paul? Did that final thought come back?
No, it didn't. No, honestly, I think the jet lag just really hit me in the head there.
Don't you worry, mate. I do that all the time. So if it makes you feel any better, jet lagged or not. But that is it, guys. That is this week's show over and done with. We will still be in and around over the weekend. So we'll put some posts up and chat to everybody. But as always, make sure you stay safe. Take care of yourselves out there. The boys will be back on Tuesday to review the game, which kicks off 20 past one in the morning on Monday. So they will be back then. But as we do every week, I start the show off with the first word, but these guys get to close it off with the last word. Stay safe, everyone.
If there's anything that was, should be given the last word in this one, it should be Lauren revealing his T-shirt. But yes,
the one thing I will say, first of all, is get well soon, Mike McCarthy. We want you back on that sideline on Sunday.
Yeah. regular season Super Bowl. I'm copywriting it now.
Oh, yeah. I remember what I was going to say. We should have no excuse to lose this game. That's what I mean. There we go. But anyway, yes. But like I normally would say, Dallas forever, Philly for never. Let's go.